Remember the days of old. And I want to try to just preach for just a few moments tonight on remember the good old days. I want you to think about that with me tonight. Remember the good old days. Amen. And I want you to remember some things about the past. Can I say something to you about the past that you really don't understand or consider when you remember the good old days? You'll never have the past without the present. Now you need to think about that for just a moment, amen. You can never have the past without having the present. There has to be where we're at right now to ever even reminisce or talk or give any thought at all about the past. And so I want us to remember the good old days, and I want us to, and I'm using that phrase because we talk about it. You know, a lot of times folk live in the past, and all they can do is reminisce in their mind about how it used to be and how things used to be and what the world used to be like and what America used to be like, what our families used to be like and what the church used to be like. And a lot of times we find ourselves in a depressed and in a defeated state in the present because we are remembering the good old days in such a way that all we can think about concerning the past is the good. But have you ever thought about the bad in the good old days? You know, sometimes we, are you listening to me tonight? Sometimes we consider the past, and the Bible talks about considering the past, meditate upon the old days. He says in Psalm 77 and verse number 5, he said, consider the days of old. And so I want to talk to you tonight about what you think about. First of all, to remember the good old days involves thought. You've got to sit down and you've got to reminisce in your mind about how it used to be. But be very careful about thinking about the good old days, because if you're not careful, you will put yourself in such a mindset that you will only remember about the past what you know is good, and you will forget about the bad that happened there. So I believe the Bible wants us and encourages us and, yes, admonishes us to remember the days of old. But it's very important that you remember them with the right and proper thought life. When you consider the days of old, you need to make sure that you are objective in your thinking. You need to make sure that you're looking at the whole picture. You need to make sure that you're considering everything that is going on in the good old days. So when you remember the good old days, first of all, it involves thought. Secondly, it involves time. When you think of the good old days and you begin to reminisce about the things of the past, we have to take into consideration time. And time changes things. Amen. It changes the way we look. It changes what size and shape we are. It changes our families. It changes everything about the world that we live in. And if we're not careful, we will never be able to adjust to the present because we are constantly wanting the past to be resurrected. But you got to understand that time changes things. Now, I'm not trying to depress you tonight. I'm trying to encourage you. God established time. There's going to be a time when there's no more time. Time will be no longer. But right now, we are living, amen, in a world that is revolving and things are in motion and time exists. And so with that, time changes things. And if you're going to remember the good old days, you got to remember that there was a time when those days that you are thinking about existed, and now that time is past. So what does all that mean, preacher? It means if you're going to remember the good old days and fulfill what this verse is stating in verse 7, I believe they're admonishing here. I believe in Psalms and Isaiah, and I believe maybe even Jeremiah references the good old days or the old days. He doesn't say the good old days. He just talks about remembering the days of old, the years of many generations. Time. Are you able to adjust to the revolving door of time that leads you down paths in life that, yes, represents change? Does it bring a state of depression to you? Are you listening? Well, preacher, let me talk to you about how it used to be when I was a boy. Them was the good old days. Yeah, them was the good old days, all right. That's when people died with a common cold because they didn't have penicillin. That's the good old days, wasn't it? Amen. So let me say this before I go any further. When you remember the good old days, not only do you have to have your thoughts in order and be objective, and you have to understand that as time goes on and the earth and the world as we know it moves in motion, that things change and things progress and things happen. I don't know about you, but I thank God for the days of old, but I'm looking forward to the next day. Amen. I'm excited about June rolling around and the Lord blessing us with two twin boys. I pray they're healthy. Pray God puts his hand on them. I prayed while she was singing about Calvary. I said, Lord, put the hand of God on them boys. Let them be the sons of thunder. May the power of God be on them. Amen. I don't know about you, but it excites me the days ahead. I look forward to them. Amen. Are you listening to me? That man testified about his boy being out of the will of God. I thank God for time. As long as there's time, there's hope for him to get right with God. Thank God, as long as the sun comes up in the morning, the mercy of God is still manifested to this world. As long as, praise God, the stars are in the heaven and the sun shines on this earth, thank God there's hope for the lost. There's hope for the wanderer tonight. Are you listening to me? I'm telling you, amen, my son ain't right with God. My husband's not saved. I pray for the ladies in this church, for their husband. I call their name. God, deal with their heart. God, deal with their heart. There's people wanting to end their life and get out of here, and I'm praying God would be merciful unto them just one more day. Amen. Time changes things. Amen. Time can change things for the good. Amen. I talked to him. I was talking to the class the other day. I said, hey man, do you know what regeneration is? I said, tell me what regeneration is. I said, that's a big word, but it's a Bible word. What does it mean? And Megan said, it means things have been made anew. I said, that's exactly right. Amen. I'm telling you, when Christ came into my heart and saved my dying soul, I'm telling you, the grace of God made a change in me. And there was a time when I got saved. If time had not existed, I never would have got born again. The fullness of time came into this world when Jesus went down the cross. So when you remember the good old days, you got to remember time. Amen. And sometimes it's good thing, sometimes it's bad, because when you remember the good old days, your thought life and time, but then there's trouble. Amen. You know, you can go back in time and you can talk about how different it was in America, but you can also talk about the wars that were taking place. While we're reminiscing about the good old times in America, years and years ago, there were 6 million Jews killed by the order of one wicked, ungodly man. You listening to me? They were men in the past. We talk about the good old days. They were men in the past that were on foreign soil fighting for their lives, for the freedom and the liberty that we enjoy in this country. Amen. So when you think about the good old days, you better make sure you remember that there was trouble in those days. There was wickedness. Preacher, I've never seen wickedness like it is right now. The reason why is when you look in the past, you don't open your eyes to it. But it existed. I can't believe what Bill Clinton done when he was in the office of the White House with his ungodly ways. I can't believe what David done when he didn't go out to war either. Is anybody listening to me? Amen. I told somebody today, I said, I remember, Brother Joe's not here tonight, but I remember when Pleasant View Baptist Church in Taylor, South Carolina, man, the place is full, the power of God's real, the Lord's a moving, and there's men raising support up to go to the mission field, and there's a missionary out of that church on deputation getting drunk while he's traveling down the road. He'd get up in the pulpit of a church, raise money to try to tell those people he's going to win the lost on foreign soil. And if he couldn't get his hands on beer or liquor to get a buzz before he got in the pulpit, he was drinking NyQuil to do so. It was a good old days, preacher. Huh? I mean, you can talk about the sin today, and sin's going to wax worse and worse, but I'm going to tell you something. The good old days, in the good old days, you think about in your mind, the devil had not taken a leave of absence from the world, and sin was not on the back seat. It was right in the church, amen. Are you listening to me? Young lady in the church there at Pleasant View. I mean, when I first went, the power of God moving, youth choir, and she's walking around with a little girl, with a little girl's hand holding her hand. And that little girl that she had, you know who it was? That was her daddy. The girl's daddy was the daddy of that little girl right there at Pleasant View. And it wasn't just there. It's all over America. Just... two young people in the choir. Man and a woman fall in love, walk down the wedding aisle like Brother Kenny and Noel did on Saturday. Walk out. Less than a year's time, he comes out and says he's a sodomite and divorces her. And is so brass about it that he brings some of his boyfriends to the camp meeting. Them was the good old days, wasn't they? But am I telling the truth or not? I'm telling the truth, ain't I? Better know I'm telling the truth. And I mean, the list goes on. What I'm trying to tell you tonight is in the past, sin has always been prevalent and existed. It's not just because of the internet. It's not, and even though I realize that the avenue of sin and wickedness is brought to the forefront by many technological things that we possess, but I'm telling you, wicked, ungodly sin, perversion has just not come on the scene in America in the last little while. It has always existed. It's always been trouble, always been wickedness. Song leader's son walks down the aisle with a young lady in a big long white dress and gets married. Brother Raines, godly man, praying man, amen, that stands head and shoulders in my mind as a giant for the Lord. He performs a ceremony, walk out, and she's with child. I'm not trying to make light of anything. I'm just trying to get you to understand that when you think about the good old days, you better remember that in the good old days there was trouble. Yes. Amen. Just like there's trouble in these present days we live in. Amen. 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 Tragedy. There's tragedy in the good old days. Yes. Turmoil in the good old days. I could go on and on and on. It just didn't happen just here in the last little while. Are you listening to me? It just is not in the year 2000 that young people have died or babies and infants have died. I'm telling you, there's been tragedy and there's been turmoil as long as there's been time since the fall of man. Amen. I'm trying to discourage you. I'm trying to get you to think in a perspective. Young people, you need to understand that as long as there is time, as long as there are days that exist in this world, thank God you can remember when you were in school, you can remember how things happened and God worked in your life, but make sure you have objective in your mind. Make sure that you focus on the picture of things and understand that the things that are going on in the world right now, the things that are going on in Christendom right now, the things that are going on in this church, in your Sunday school class, the things that are going on in your family are things that have existed in the past. Tragedy, turmoil, trouble. But there's been triumph too. Amen. Even though those kind of things were going on, there was a group of people that believed the Bible and prayed and purposed in their heart that they wouldn't defile themselves. They purposed in their heart that they was not going to be a part of an untoward generation. They purposed in their heart they was going to try to pray and raise their family for the glory of God. They purposed in their heart that they wasn't going to compromise the truth. They purposed in their heart that they would walk with God. They purposed in their heart they was going to live holy. They purposed in their heart they was going to do something with their life that would mean something in this world. And those people would rally together and pray and rise above the dominion of sin. They'd rise above the snares that the devil would set for them. They would rise above the situations that the fall of man would bring into their path of life. You need to hear that again. I said they would rise above the situations that the fall of man would bring into the path of their life. I'm telling you everything about sin and tragedy and turmoil and trouble is a result of not a God that does not see and hear, not a God that does not care, but it is a result, a direct result of the fact that man has failed. And there is a curse on this world. Amen. Are you listening? You better put that in perspective in your mind or you'll start questioning God. You better get that fixed in your heart and mind or you'll start questioning God. I'm going to say this again to you, and you better listen to me, young people. You better listen to me. There's a message that revolves around this thought line. God could have put bulldogs and chained them around the forbidden tree. He could have put an electric fence around it and barbed wire and razor wire and cherubims and all kinds of protection around that tree, but he didn't. Because he put man in this world and in the garden with the ability to make a choice. And God, Brother Kevin, wanted man to choose. Amen. He wanted to choose whether or not he was going to fulfill the desires of the flesh or if he would fellowship and walk with the Father. He wanted him to make a choice what he would do. God, are you listening to me? God wanted man to make a choice and say, I would rather have Jesus than silver or gold. Amen. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, we looked at it in class the other day, is represented in the fall of man where Eve saw that the tree was good for food. It was pleasant. It was there. And if you partook of it, it could be used to make one wise. And everything about the lust and the desire of man was brought into man's view as an allurement there in the garden. And God said, I want you to want me. I want you to want me more than anything else. I want you to choose because you desire me. You young people are going to be brought to the valley of decision in your life. There'll be crossroads that you'll come to. God's not going to grab you and fling you down the path of righteousness. The devil has brought question marks concerning the fantasy and the fulfillment that a person can know in the pleasures of sin. And you can knock on their door, and they can come to the door with a beer in their hand, with a joint hanging out their mouth, or a needle stuck in a vein. And there's not a one in the world that'll tell you that they're enjoying the life they're living. Not a one. Not a one will. And I know it bumfuzzles us and overwhelms us when we question those that are out of the will of God concerning the condition that their soul is in, and we say, why in the world do you stay? I don't know. It's hard to get back. I've heard all kinds of excuses, all kinds of statements, but the bottom line is they're just making it, Brother Paul, but they're just barely making it. They're unfulfilled. They know nothing about the power of God. They have made a choice to fulfill the desires of the flesh, and they have found out the hard way that you cannot fulfill the desires of the flesh. You listening to me? The lust of the flesh, the pride of life, none of those things can ever know fulfillment in the child of God's life, nor in the man that's lost and undone without God. That's why sin brings death. That's why sin brings about destruction. Are you listening to me? There is no way to satisfy man. Better listen to me now. You listening? No way to satisfy man. The works of the flesh are manifest. They have to be. Every day. Amen. Triumph. The people of God can triumph over sin. Triumph over the problems of this life if they will make a choice. I want God. I tell you what, I prayed in there a while ago, and I tell you what, there's nobody in here enjoys the conveniences of modern living any more than I do. Thank God for heat. Thank God for the things that we have that man has invented to make life easier, more convenient for us. And I realize they've been a snare to many of us in a lot of ways, but I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I desire to have your presence and the realness of your power in my life more than anything this world can give. And I pray that I would not be ensnared. I pray that I'd not be trapped by the things of this world. Triumph. I'm going to tell you what made the good old days good. What made the good old days good was that there was people that said, we will not be a part of this untoward generation. We will not go down the path that this world's going. We're going to rise up above the things of this world and the sin of this world and the direction that Satan is taking this society, and we're going to pray. Some of you never pray. Some of you have no walk with God. You come to church faithfully, and that's the only way you survive. You never testify. You have no walk with God. Your prayer life is null and void. It's not spiritual. Your relationship with the Word of God, it has no meaning to it. And it's because your relationship in prayer and in the Word of God revolves around a religion and not a relationship. But I'm going to tell you what, friend, in those days when all of the things that we know today still existed, I mean, if you don't believe that, why don't you just take a little time and study how the emperors and the superior leaders of Rome died. Eat up with venereal disease, consumed with the flesh and ungodliness. You listening to me? It just didn't happen over. It just didn't come about yesterday, friend. It's always been. I thought about it this afternoon in the study in there, I thought about the 400 silent years that we know existed between Malachi and the book of Matthew, and how awful that, I can't even imagine. No word from God for 400 years. No preacher. No man with a message burning on his soul. But yet in the midst of that much darkness, there were some people that still held on to a glimmer of hope that there was a promise made a long, long time ago that my great-great-granddaddy had told me about. And I have warned it in the Word of God that there is one to come that will bring salvation. There is a deliverer that's promised. Would to God tonight that we had some young families in this church and some young people that would say, I want to be able to look back in my teenage years and say, them were good old days. Yeah, we've seen some folk get in trouble. I'm going to tell you something now. I think back, Miss Rebecca, when God called me to preach, and I think back of the preacher boys in the church there and where they stood and what they believed. And I see where they're at now and some of the things that happened to them while I was there. I mean, there's not a lot of good in those good old days, except for the fact there's Bill Howard in Arizona still preaching the gospel. Amen. Brother Robbie Smith is still preaching the gospel. And some of those folk, amen, that we know, Brother Ben Andrews. I remember Brother Ben walking around down front in that old building shouting the victory and worshiping God in Papua New Guinea now serving the Lord. Amen. I remember in a camp meeting one night when Brother Bob Patnall and his family crawled in an altar right beside the pulpit after Dr. Gordon Carpenter had preached in that old building. I mean, people packed everywhere. You couldn't move, and he surrendered to give his life to serve God in China. I can think about the bad, but there were some folk that rose up above the influence of the world and the mindset of society. And I can reminisce about the power of God moving in services and folk getting saved because somebody rose up and said, I will not be a part of it. Are you listening to me? Most all of you remember that girl that was convicted of smothering her son down there. I don't know how many times I preached to that young lady sitting on a pew. I remember the heartache and the pain that was experienced in her grandmother and her granddaddy's life when her mother was killed in an automobile accident, living a wicked and an ungodly life in sin. I'm talking about one family lost the daughter, had that little grandgirl, put her in church, put her in the Christian school there at Pleasant View. And then the great grandboy is smothered by her. Are you listening to me? You don't have to look very far to find somebody that's got a whole lot more tragedy to talk about than you do. As far as I know, they're in church tonight. I'm talking about somebody that disvalues God's touch, the realness of God. Anybody here like that tonight? Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what your mom and daddy may do tomorrow. I don't know what your sister or brother may do tomorrow. I don't know. But I'm going to tell you what you can do. You can be a vessel that God can use. That's what I preached about in chapel. And I wish God, and I know some of you look a little bored with it because it's been so long and drawn out. But I'm telling you, you can take the principles I've tried to present to you and you can take those things and appropriate them in your life. And God can use you. I thought about the other day, I done called trying to find out where to get a violin for Jillian to start taking lessons and playing. Ain't a young man in here to play the bass fiddle or to play the bass guitar for chapel. training your children to do anything for God. Some of them got talents and abilities. I'll tell you what, you'll buy tennis rackets and fishing poles and everything you can dream out of. I mean, spend money for hunting trips, spend money for this, buy new clothes. Hey, man, go out and spend money you don't have and throw it away. Won't spend a red cent to prepare your children to serve the Lord with the talents that God's given. It ain't hard. It ain't hard to go home after a long day's work. It ain't hard to go home after a long day's work, eat you a bite and rush like a madman, put you on some tennis shoes, and come up here and play ball and sweat like a mule half the evening on Monday, and get back up and try to go to work the next day sore and stove up. But God forbid that you'd have to take a little time out of your schedule and put a kid in a car and take them to somewhere for 30 or 45 minutes for a piano lesson. Raise them to serve the Lord. Amen. I got two daughters that don't play. I spent a fortune on them taking piano lessons, and they don't ever play except by themselves or whatever. But I don't regret it. And I've spent money on other people's children, try to encourage them to play. Do anything I can to see you serve the Lord. Amen. I'm going to tell you something we better understand tonight. If we're going to have days that we can remember of the generations in the past, that we can reminisce about, that are good days, we're going to have to realize that they are bad times in that period of time. Just like there's bad. You listen, remember the generations of old. Yeah, let's remember some of them generations for a little bit. Amen. Let's remember Ai and Achan. Let's remember Samson. Let's remember Noah getting drunk, Abraham lying. Let's remember Cain killing Abel. Is anybody listening to me? Murdered his own brother. You listening to me? That's a lot of sin. A lot of good things happen, but I'm telling you, the devil is not sitting on the sidelines during the past that you want to reminisce about. The point I'm trying to make, I don't know what point I'm trying to make. I'm just trying to get you to understand that there's good old days you can remember. But you're going to have to understand the importance that revolves around making the good in those days. I'm going to say this again. I wrote this in my Bible. God did not put a hedge of protection around the forbidden fruit. He wanted man to freely choose. The flesh or the Father, what will it be? Life or death, make a choice. You know, this thing of sin and living for God and having victory and having the power of God and experiencing the presence of God and not getting ensnared by the flesh and the devil and the sin of this world, it's not as complicated as you have made it. It's nowhere near as complicated as we have made it, young men. It's nowhere near as frustrating, young ladies, as we have made it. It just revolves around a simple choice. Whether or not you will walk with God, or you will walk to the flesh. It's that simple. What you gonna do? Well, preacher, you don't know how tempting things are. You don't understand the power of the allurements of this world. You don't understand how the devil has portrayed sin and how it grabs at a man. No, I think I probably do. Probably more than you ever dreamed. But whatever happened with those that would delight themselves in the ways of the Lord? Enoch walked with God. Enoch could have walked the same course the world was walking. But Enoch made a choice. He said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I think I'll just walk with God. There's a lot of prophets in Israel, but Elijah was different. Samuel was different. Amen. It just revolves around what you're going to do. I want to walk with God. Preacher, I'm going to tell you what you're doing. You walk with God. I heard Bob Jones Sr. make this statement. He was very, very practical in a lot of things he said in those days. He wrote a book, Do Right. He made the statement, if the stars fall out of heaven, do right. Do right. He made this statement. He said, if all of everything I believe tonight was a myth, when it comes to Christianity, and I had my life to live all over again, he said, I'd live it the same way. He said, there's no greater life than the life I've lived. I'll tell you what, I'll guarantee you, are you listening to me? I'll guarantee you, you can't find anybody in the world that'll make that kind of statement. Is anybody got a brain tonight? I got a brain, preacher. You got a brain tonight? You think that Houston woman tonight is going to stand up and say, boy, I tell you what, it was wonderful. Huh? You think she would? Could have had any man she wanted. She was a multi-millionaire at one time and throwed it all away on drugs and alcohol. You think Elvis Presley would stand here before you tonight and said, boy, if I had to do all over again, that's what I'd do. I live it the same way. Die drug addict. Thank Marilyn Monroe. Miss Adam would say, if I had it to do all over again, this is the way I'd live my life. No, they're all crying just like the rich man in hell's crying.
Yes, sir.
Because the flesh cannot offer any contentment. And any satisfaction. I'm going to tell you something. Look at me. If the flesh could offer satisfaction, young lady, if the flesh could satisfy you tonight the way you think it can, if the flesh could satisfy you tonight, that Houston woman, is that her name? She's got more money. She had more money than you'll ever have. If the flesh could satisfy you, she wouldn't have been sucking on a bottle of pills. If money in the world could bring contentment, she wouldn't have died the way Marilyn Monroe wouldn't have died the way she died. If the flesh can be satisfied by sin. You listening to me? If the flesh could be satisfied by sin, those folks wouldn't die the way they died. How are you going to die? I'm going to tell you something. Some of you in deep trouble. God don't rescue you where you're at right now. You can stiffen your neck against the truth. You can blame everything and everybody for the condition you're in. But you got a perverted and a wicked heart. And if you don't get it right with God, buddy, you're going to be in trouble. We'll all sit around and say, man, I tell you what, I've never seen it like it is right now. No, the reason why you've never seen it like it is right now is because you're just really not considering and really thinking about how it was in the past. Because it all existed 20 years ago, it existed. Would anybody in this building that's heard the rapport and the testimony of Pleasant View Baptist Church and years gone by and the influence it had on America? I'm not talking about this church, I'm talking about my home church. None of you would have ever thought that a young man would have brought a girl down the aisle in a white dress that was pregnant to get married in the church, would you? Would you? But it happened, didn't it? And what my point is tonight is for you to keep things in perspective and understand the seriousness of living your life in the present and rising up above sin and being the nucleus that's strong, that's sober. I'm going to tell you what I wish some of these young girls would do right here, some of these young boys would do in this church and in this school. I wish that they would realize the seriousness of a spiritual walk with God. I'm talking about crawling these altars somewhere during the day and weep their way to the throne room and let the power of God fill their heart and soul and do something for Jesus. And all those things you feel like that you're going to miss out on wouldn't mean a thing to you. I mean, Enoch, he's just walking with the Lord. He's as happy as he can be. Can you imagine what that must have been like? He's walking with God one day. Just walking with the Lord. He's loving every minute of it. Walking with God. God said, you know, Enoch, I've been to your house. You've never been to mine. He said, no, come think of it. I never have. So, well, I just think today as we're walking, I might just take you home with me today. He said, that would be wonderful. Went home with him, never has come back. Never has come back. What about it, young man? Young lady? You can start establishing some days right now. Right now in your life, in the very present that you exist in today. You can start establishing some things right now today. That 20 years from now, you can look back and say, yeah, boy, I tell you what, there were some folks that got out of the will of God, that sin wrecked their life, but you can remember God working in your heart. Brother Mickey Kofor will be here with us in Jubilee, missionary to Mongolia. I tell you what, he's a dear, precious man of God. Brother Mickey prayed about coming up here and starting this work, helping me work in this work. He wasn't even a preacher. He said, I have a desire to be a man's man. It's what he had a desire to be, is what he said. A servant's servant. He said, I want to be a servant's servant. He went and worked at the Fellowship Tract League for years and printed gospel tracts, run the printing press, learned all that. I'm sure Mickey didn't have a clue what God was doing, but one of the prayingest men you'll ever meet in your life. Prayingest man you'll ever meet in your life. A man told me this past week and said that he went to Mongolia and said Brother Mickey would get up on Monday mornings and go off by himself and not come back till Wednesday. Nearly every week. Nothing to eat. Just go off and be by himself. Spend time with God. Doing a work there. I'm talking about pray. I'm telling you, I mean, when he prays, buddy, heaven listens. He prayed for a year about one side of a mountain down in North Carolina. I don't know how many acres it was that the Lord would give him. You know what? The Lord gave it to him. Woman gave it to him. He didn't buy it. He prayed it in. They just bought a factory. I forget how many square foot. It was unbelievable. The square foot, 300,000 square. I know that might not be right, but it's unbelievable how big this factory is. They said he took two buckets of ashes, went over and crawled in that building and dumped them in the floor and crawled in them and prayed for days. They're putting the track minister, or putting the printing press in there to print the Word of God. Me and him, we used to fast and pray together for camp meetings. Who are you fasting and praying with? You and your families fasting and praying with anybody about needs, about things? I'm talking about, I remember those days sitting in that old trailer of his and him over there pulling a bow back. He said, man, as we fasted, I don't want to look like no anemic little skinny runt. So he's over there pulling a bow back for exercise while he's fasting. So he don't look like he's, you know, pitiful looking. I'm serious. I remember fasting for 3 days. We'd fast 3 days and praying for camp meeting, and then we'd go to the Fork and eat. A little restaurant there and grill. Man, we'd come out of there, praise God. We had revival. We got something to eat. We're serious. I remember those days. Yeah, I remember the Steves and the Kellys, and I remember all those that got out of the will of God and those that didn't serve the Lord, the ones that got in trouble. But I remember fasting with Brother Mickey and praying and the power of God moving and the Lord working. You got anything you're going to be able to remember about today? Amen. This week? Amen. Next week maybe? Amen. What about it? You young boys, talk about playing ball. That's wonderful. You young families got little kids. They mean anything to you? Oh, don't tell me how much you love them when you're not praying for them and praying with them and begging God to do something in their life. You don't pray together. You're eat up with the flesh and ungodliness. You have no walk with God. God help us. Remember the good old days. You're going to have any to remember? When you read the Bible and the good old days are referenced as talking about the things that God done in the life of His people. And there's a lot of negative things and bad things that happened during Moses' leadership, Joshua's leadership, on down the line, Samuel's children. You can go on down the line, friend. There's trouble on every hand. But there were some people that had some things happen in their life that they could remember. What about you?